God, by His Spirit, is looking to stir us afresh today. To refine our readiness as the bride of Christ, as it relates to purity and holiness. It's been a recurring theme recently here at Kingdom Outpost. And God, by His Spirit, wants to move afresh upon our hearts today to encourage us, to bolster us in our faith, and to make us alert and attentive like never before of the wiles of the enemy that are looking to keep the wedding dress of the bride of Christ stained in one way or another. And so we're going to come now with ears that are willing to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us about being triumphant over temptation. Triumphant over temptation. Triumphant over temptation. Let's say that together. Triumphant over temptation. Say it again. Triumphant over temptation. One more time. Triumphant over temptation in the power of Jesus' victory. Amen?
Amen.
Now be reminded afresh today, temptation in and of itself is not sin, although it can feel like it at times. How many of you here, when you're being tempted, feels like sin? But really, it's when we give in to temptation that it becomes sinful. And there can be gradations of temptation. Temptation can be very subtle at times. And temptations can come in various forms or another, and in very subtle ways, and can sometimes have an accumulating effect on our souls until we ultimately give in to the temptation. But God, by His Spirit and by His Word, wants to encourage us afresh today. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, wants to encourage us afresh today that we can be triumphant over temptation at every turn. But make no mistake about it, temptation in and of itself is not sin. But when we give in to temptation, then it becomes sinful. And so if indeed temptation in and of itself is not sin, then what is it at the root of temptation that makes it appealing? How many of you here with me can make an honest response and say, in the face of temptation, it's kind of appealing? Can anybody lift an honest hand with me and say, I think I'd like that? So what's at the root of temptation to sin that makes it appealing? I found one Bible dictionary definition of temptation that puts it like this. Temptation is an enticement or an invitation to sin, catch this now, with an implied promise of personal gratification or personal satisfaction to some degree or another that will be derived from following the way of disobedience. There's the hook. If you just follow the way of disobedience, there's an enticement to some degree of personal gratification or personal satisfaction. And I think that I would agree with that. That's at the root of what makes temptation appealing. Mm-hmm. How many of you here like to satisfy yourselves at one time or another? Anybody here? And there can be some good ways of satisfying ourselves. There can be some good and wholesome ways of satisfying the life that we're living in. But we have to be careful that we're not getting outside of God's framework for what godly satisfaction is. Amen?
Amen.
God, by His Word, reminds us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Apostle Paul was speaking to believers then, and God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is speaking to encourage us afresh today that we all will face temptations. Even as born-again believers, we're not immune from temptations. But yet to be encouraged afresh today that in the face of temptation, there is no temptation that entices you, regardless of its source. regardless of its source, regardless of the temptation source, there is no temptation that entices you that is not common to human experience. Even Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, the Bible tells us that He experienced every temptation that we could ever experience, but yet He never sinned. Amen?
Amen.
That's how He was able to be the perfectly sinless, unblemished, perfect sacrifice for our sins. Amen?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul went on to encourage believers then, and God by His Spirit encouraging us today, there is no temptation that is unusual or beyond human resistance as a believer, because God always provides you. God always provides you. God always provides you with a way of escape.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
How many of you here have been in the territories of temptation like me, and you see the way of escape? Anybody here can lift a hand, honest, vulnerable hand? You guys are a little bit more sanctified than I am, I guess, anyway. You're right there. It's like a spider web. You get right on the edge of it, and like a spider web is designed to draw you right into the center of it. But here we are, and we see that God is giving us a way of escape. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes we're paying attention to it, and sometimes we'd rather not. Anybody here with me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But God is faithful.
Amen.
That when you are tempted, He will show you a way out.
Thank you, Lord.
He will show you a way out.
Amen.
That's how much He loves you, and that's how much He cares for you. That's how much He recognizes how weak we are in our own human flesh. He loves you with an everlasting love, and even when we're transgressing into the territories of temptation, He will still show you a way out. Aren't you glad for that? Anybody here glad for that?
Amen.
The question is, are you looking for a way out? The question is, are you taking the way of escape that God is providing? So I got to thinking about it. Where do these temptations come from? Make no mistake about it. Temptations do not come from God. Although, catch this now, a little bit of a sobering point as I delved into this. There are times when God does allow temptations. Oh. Like in the story of Job. God allowed Satan to tempt Job, but catch this now, with specific limitations and restrictions. Amen? God is ultimately in control. God is ultimately in control even of Satan as he's trying to attack you. Make no mistake about it. Satan asked God in Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. Make a note of it. If you're taking notes, Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 12, Satan asked God's permission to inflict suffering on Job in order to tempt him to curse and renounce God, because Job was so blessed by God. And so God said to Satan, "Hey, look how great my servant Job is." And Satan said, "Well, yeah, because you've blessed him, let me mess with him. And I'll show you that he'll curse you." And so God allowed that, but with restrictions. God is still in control.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
God is in control of Satan as well. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
God allowed it in Job's life for Job's greater good, but ultimately God's hand of protection was upon Job. Amen?
Amen.
So that it would not be to his destruction. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And it won't be to your destruction either. As a born-again, Spirit-filled, devoted follower of Jesus Christ, inclining yourself to the power of God's Spirit and the victory of Jesus and the sovereign oversight of God the Father over your life. Amen?
Amen.
It won't be to your destruction.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I came across a similar example in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. Make a note of it. I refer to that now. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. Here's a similar example where Jesus says to Peter, catch this now, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. Aren't you glad Jesus is praying for you? Jesus! He's at the right hand of the Father right now, ever interceding for you. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is praying for you. And Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Amen?
Amen.
Not altogether different with how God in Christ Jesus deals with us today. Amen? But either way, whether God is permitting the temptation or not, make no mistake about it. James chapter 1, verse 13, make a note of it. James chapter 1, verse 13 tells us unequivocally, that God cannot be tempted by evil. And He Himself does not tempt anyone. Amen?
Amen.
Satan is the tempter. And God, by His Word, reminds us from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. Make a note of it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. Receive this declaration into the substance of your soul today. Be sober and self-disciplined. Be sober and self-disciplined. Be sober and self-disciplined. I decree it to you today to be imparted to your soul afresh. Be sober and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious in the spirit at all times.
Amen.
Because your enemy Satan is prowling around like a roaring, hungry lion seeking someone to devour. And so resist him firm in your faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord, rooted, established, and immovable in Christ Jesus, our victor over all the schemes of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Rooted and established and immovable in Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord, our victor over all the schemes of Satan. Amen?
Amen?
I decree that now to be the manifest reality of each of your lives right now. If you would just receive it now. Jesus Christ is the victor over all the schemes of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
And so we can see from God's Word that temptations can be propagated by Satan. And that temptations can even be allowed by God for a specific purpose and a specific greater good. I was reminded of one more example along these lines in the Apostle Paul's life. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Make a note of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Catch this now, sobering point. How many of you here would agree with me that the Apostle Paul, from what you've read about his life, was absolutely in the center of God's will for his life? Can anybody lift a hand with me? I'm absolutely convinced that the Apostle Paul was absolutely in the perfect center of God's will for his life, completely surrendered to God's will and plan and purpose for his life. Here's a man in the perfect center of God's will for his life. And we see in 2 Corinthians 12 that God allowed Satan to inflict suffering on Paul to keep him from becoming prideful. You can read it for yourself. But yet God provided His grace for Paul to endure it.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Your grace is sufficient for me, Lord God Almighty. And if you're allowing this messenger of Satan to inflict suffering upon me for a greater purpose, then I rejoice in the opportunity that your grace would show forth and that your power would be perfected in my weakness. Amen?
Amen.
That's a little bit challenging. Anybody find that challenging other than me? But that's what God's calling us to.
Amen.
He's calling each and every one of us to that place like the Apostle Paul. Complete surrender to God's perfect will and plan and purpose and greater things for our lives in us and through us, even if it means Him allowing Satan's inflictions upon us for a greater purpose, like with the Apostle Paul, to keep him from pride. How many of you recognize that God knows you better than you do?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul pleaded with Jesus three times. I pleaded three times that this thorn in the flesh would be removed from me. Remove this thorn! Remove this thorn! Remove this thorn, Lord! How many of you have ever felt like that, praying before God? Remove it, Lord! Just take it away, Lord! I'll praise you all day long! Anybody here ever been there with me? Oh, I'm ready to praise you, Lord, if you just remove this thing from me! And God's saying, my grace will be sufficient for you.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. My grace will be sufficient for you. My grace will be sufficient for you. My grace will be sufficient for you. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It will not be to your destruction.
Amen.
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 People will wonder, how do you keep on keeping on with that thing going on in your life? How do you keep on keeping on with that thing going on in your life? Well, you know what? I know the Lord and His grace is sufficient for me.
Amen.
And His grace can be sufficient for you too.
Amen.
I'll show you the way. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And so as much as we recognize that temptations can be propagated by Satan and God can even allow it for a greater purpose, God's Word also indicates that temptations can originate from within us. God, by His Word, is speaking to us along these lines from James chapter 1, verse 14. Make a note of it. James chapter 1, verse 14. That each of us can be tempted, catch this now, by our own worldly desires. How worldly minded are we as believers? How many of you here recognize that even as a born-again, Spirit-filled, devoted follower of Jesus Christ, we can have varying degrees of worldly mindedness? How worldly minded are you in your walk with the Lord? And how much does that worldly mindedness affect what you're committed to and how you walk things out with the Lord that you say you love and believe in? But James was urging believers in his time, and God by His Spirit is urging and stirring us afresh today, that each of us can be tempted by our own worldly desires, by our own worldly lusts and passions. And these things bait us and entice us and set us up to sin. We're tempted, catch this now, when we allow ourselves to be carried away by our own fleshly desires. When we allow ourselves to think certain thoughts. When we allow ourselves to go places we shouldn't go. When we make decisions based on the deceitfulness of riches. When we make decisions based on the lust of the flesh. When we make decisions based on the lust of the eyes, and catch this now, the pride of the worldly accomplishments of this life. I think that's a very subtle one at times, because we live in a culture that talks about being successful. And sometimes pride can enter in to our mindset as believers. The pride of the worldly accomplishments of this life can come in and choke out the Word of God in our lives so that we actually become unfruitful for God's purposes. And these things can lead us into temptation. The deceitfulness of riches, the pride of the accomplishments of this life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the desire for worldliness and other worldly things. These things, if we allow them to, if we allow them to, leads us into temptation. We're the determining factor on the things inside of us that would bring us into the territories of temptation. We decide if we're going to allow that or not. Amen?
Amen.
What are we allowing ourselves? What are we allowing ourselves to think about and dwell upon? Are we taking captive our thoughts in obedience to Christ? What are we allowing ourselves to think about? What are we allowing ourselves to dwell upon? Are we taking captive our thoughts and emotions and drives in obedience to Christ? The more consistently we are taking these things captive in Christ, the less we will find ourselves in the territories of temptation. Amen? Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
And so whatever the source of the temptation, whatever the source of the temptation, God by His Word and by His Spirit is urging each of us afresh today to resist the temptation in the manner in which Jesus did when He was tempted by Satan, as depicted in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Satan's temptations were right in Jesus' face. Right in Jesus' face. And Satan's temptations in Jesus' face, catch this now, were characterized by the allurements of earthly kingdoms and the distortions of the Scriptures. So Satan was distorting the Scriptures to tempt Jesus, and he was tempting him with the allurements of earthly and worldly things, which is not altogether different from how Satan gets in our face. Anybody here other than me experience some of that? Now, Jesus encountered those enticements and distortions, catch this now, by decreeing the truth of God's Word in Satan's face. Amen?
Amen.
Decreeing the truth of God's Word in Satan's face. In the face of Satan's luring mischaracterizations, decreeing the truth of God's Word, and ultimately, the tempter went away. Amen?
Amen.
And angels came to minister to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you here know that God has ministering angels, and whether you see them or not, they can come and minister to you? And so the way that Jesus handled the temptations of Satan in His face is a pattern for us to handle it in the same way. And we'll get the same result. We'll get the same result that Jesus got. Amen?
Amen?
Satan must flee in the face of the truth of God's Word. He can't stand it. That's why he tries to distort it. Tries to get you to think otherwise about the truth of God's Word. That's a motivator to know God's Word. Amen?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it, and be motivated afresh today. Satan has no defense against the decreed Word of God. Let that sink in for a minute. The next time you're trying to counter what's going on in your life with anything other than the truth of God's Word, Satan has no defense against the decreed Word of God. And who's supposed to decree it? We are. Amen? If we're going to say something, let's say what God's Word says. Amen?
Amen?
Even though in the natural realm, we might throw our hands up. But God will show Himself faithful to accomplish His Word as we decree it. It activates the Holy Spirit to bring it forth in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
And so if Jesus had to decree the Word of God in order to effectively end the temptations brought against Him, how much more do we need to declare the truth of God's Word in the face of our own temptations? Amen?
Amen.
What are you doing in the face of temptations? Make no mistake about it, and be motivated afresh today. Knowing and decreeing the truth of God's Word is the most effective weapon that we have to be triumphant over temptation. Amen?
Amen.
When we find ourselves faced with the self-serving and self-satisfying enticements of Satan, the most effective weapon that we have is the truth of God's Word to be triumphant over temptation. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Make a note of it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 reminds us along these lines as part of the armor of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Let's say that together. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Say it again. Take up the sword of the Spirit. One more time. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. It's the only offensive part of the armor of God. Isn't that interesting? I got to thinking about it. A sword that remains in the holster is of no value in the battle. Until someone picks it up and uses it in the battle. Taking up the sword is knowing the word. And swinging the sword is decreeing the word. Amen? That's the application to our lives. Anybody here walking around with actual armor on? We have spiritual armor. Amen? And it manifests in our lives as we take it up, as we put it on. Amen? You got to put the armor on every day. Amen? Review it for yourself in Ephesians 6. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel. Amen? The shield of faith. Amen? We got to take it up. We got to put it on every single day. Amen? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? Know the Word of God and decree the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
The responsibility is on us to do those things. Otherwise, we're going to be more vulnerable to the temptations of Satan. Now, there are other times when Satan has nothing to do with the temptation. We at times do a good enough job of providing ourselves with the ensnarements of temptation. Sometimes we do a good enough job and Satan's like, I'll just leave them to themselves. Because they're doing a good enough job of ensnaring themselves with temptation. Depending on what we're allowing our mindset to be exposed to and to dwell upon. Various images and messages that bombard us every day that infiltrate even into our electronic times. Things that will inevitably set you up for the territories of temptation, sometimes in a cumulative way. That lead to satisfying your sinful lusts. God, by His Word, encourages us along these lines from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. We can be triumphant over temptation. We can be triumphant over temptation when we set our minds on things above. Set your mind on things above, keeping yourself habitually focused on heavenly things. And not on the temporal things that are on the earth. A little bit challenging, isn't it? The Spirit of God is stirring in our midst. And God, by His Spirit, is urging each of us afresh today that we can be triumphant over temptation by disciplining ourselves to keep our minds focused. Keep our minds focused. Keep our minds focused on the majesty and holiness of God in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
You have the Holy Spirit in you as a born-again believer. Discipline yourself to keep your mindset focused on the majesty and holiness of God that is in you. On the love and compassion of Christ in your life. On the truth of His perfect Word in your life. And in so doing, we will find that our interest in the lusts and allurements of this world will progressively diminish and ultimately disappear. Seems like we can never get to that point sometimes, does it? Anybody ever feel that way? How could I ever get to that point? Where the interests in the lusts and allurements of this world would ultimately disappear while I'm alive on this earth. It almost seems like an impossible thing for me. But we have an example in the Apostle Paul. I can't wait to meet him. I get this picture of this kind of stout guy with big calves. Because he walked everywhere. Got to have some big calves to walk around the way that they did. There was no public transit there in those times. I love the Apostle Paul. And so there's a description that he brings forth in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, which speaks right to this juncture. He says that as for me, I will not boast about anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Just let that settle in for a minute. As a born-again believer, I will not boast about anything except the cross of Jesus Christ and all the implications of that for my life. Because of that cross, the Apostle Paul said, my interest in the attractive things of this world have been crucified and died. And the world's interest in me is also dead. And he was fine with that. How many of you here with me struggle to be fine with that? Can anybody lift an honest hand and say, But God, by His Spirit, is stirring His bride as the imminent coming of Christ is upon us like never before. How much are the allurements of this world affecting your walk with the Lord? How much are the allurements of this world affecting how you think about things? As professed born-again devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we must resist the temptation to think as the world thinks. We must resist the temptation to walk in the same way that the world walks, because we are representative citizens of Jesus' kingdom first. Amen? Which necessitates the consistent propagation of a biblical worldview and an eternal perspective for our lives and the lives of others around us. Amen? God, by His Spirit, is stirring afresh in our midst today, I believe, urging us like never before. The bride of Christ, called to be a perfect and spotless bride, to stay focused on letting God transform the way that you think. Stay focused on that. Don't get distracted from that. Letting God's Word transform you. Let His Spirit transform you so that we will be consistently triumphant over temptation. Amen? Be vigilant to keep a close, prayerful watch on your mindset so that you may not enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is urging each of us afresh today like never before. I believe there's an urgency in the Spirit upon His church today to stay away from the territories of temptation at all costs. At all costs. Even if it means taking drastic measures to steer clear of it. The battle is the Lord's. Amen? The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Let's decree that together. The battle is the Lord's. Decree it again. The battle is the Lord's. One more time. The battle is the Lord's. And the victory that is ours has already been won. Amen? Do you really believe that here today? Believe it and apply it. Believe it and apply it. It's one thing to believe it, but then we have to apply it. Amen? Proactively in our lives to see ourselves triumphing over all the works of the enemy that would come against us to stain us. Be encouraged and motivated afresh today. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us that enables us to be triumphant over the temptations that we struggle with in our daily lives. We already have what it takes to be triumphant over temptation. Amen? Amen. And so if we are habitually seeking and being consistently responsive to the Holy Spirit's guidance, then we will not carry out the desires of our sinful nature, which in and of itself responds impulsively and without regard for God and His precepts. Be reminded afresh today, catch this now, motivating and yet sobering point. When we give in to temptation to sin, every sin we've ever committed or will commit played a part in nailing our Savior to the cross. That's very sobering for me, but it's also motivating me in my pursuit of holiness. And so how we respond to sinful temptations, catch this now, how we respond to sinful temptations is an indicator as to how much we really value what Jesus has done for us. Because every time we sin, we are ultimately sinning against the Lord and doing what is sinful in His sight. He sees it all, publicly and privately. And so if we purpose to walk by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then we can face temptations, catch this now, as opportunities for us to show God that He indeed is the master of our lives. And we can certainly be triumphant over every temptation. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now as the Word of the Lord has come to you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.